Revelation chapter 8, verse 6. Hear the word of the Lord. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Thus far, our reading of Holy Scripture. Well, who was the worst atheist that ever lived? In John Calvin's opinion, the worst atheist who ever lived that he can think of is Gaius Caligula. Gaius Caligula. Gaius Caligula was the emperor of Rome from AD 37 to AD 41. He was the grandfather and the successor of Tiberius Caesar. Well, Suetonius tells us of this depraved emperor that he despised the gods, but he was so terrified when it thundered that he leapt from his bed to hide under it. Calvin, in the Institutes, says that no one had more contempt for God than Caligula, but that no one trembled more miserably when any sign of God's wrath manifested itself. God would say to Caligula, "If you really don't believe in God, then what are you so afraid of?" Yes, unbelievers have every reason to fear the judgment of God. But do you? Well, this vision of the first four trumpets will make the answer really quite clear to you. John has just witnessed the opening of the sixth seal and the opening of the seventh seal. You will remember that in the sixth seal we have all the kings of the earth, the great men, the mighty men, the rich men, the commanders, every slave, every free man that hid themselves under the rocks and in the caves and said to the mountains and the rocks, "Hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" A horrifying picture of final judgment continued in the seventh seal, which, as we saw last time, that this was the whole world as it stands in dumbfounded silence in awe of God's judgment, a silence that precedes the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. Well, what can happen after that? Are the trumpet judgments that John is about to witness, Are these to be understood as occurring after the sixth and seventh seals in time and history? The answer must be a resounding no. Rather, the trumpets recount the same period of time as the seals. They run parallel to one another. And this is easily proven. I want you to notice, for example, that in the sixth seal, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars had been completely destroyed in the sixth seal. But in the first and the fourth trumpets, they've only been partially destroyed. So that must mean that the first and the fourth trumpets come before the sixth seal in time and in history. We'll be noticing a number of other striking parallels as we'll be going on. So then, the trumpets do not follow after the seals chronologically. They happen at the same time. They happen one after the other literally, as they are written down in the book of Revelation, but they're not chronological in time and history. They're only the order in which John saw the visions. They are not to be understood as coming one after the other in time. And to use a word that I have used before, the trumpets recapitulate the seals. The trumpets recapitulate the seals. But, however, with the trumpets, there is a different focus than what we see in the seals. For whereas the first five seals focus on trials that both believers and unbelievers must go through, the focus in the first six trumpets is on judgments that unbelievers alone must endure. Unbelievers both inside and outside of the visible church community. And what are these judgments? John is about to find out, and so are you, as the seven angels prepare to sound their trumpets, to unleash their afflictions upon the world. And we might ask, what are the purpose of these trumpet judgments? Well, in order to understand that, we must understand that the first five trumpets are patterned after the first five plagues associated with the plagues in Egypt. That is the backdrop. There are striking parallels. Well, you just have to ask, what was the purpose of the Egyptian plagues in that context? The purpose in the plagues, you'll remember, was explicitly, we're told, was to harden Pharaoh's heart. It was to harden Pharaoh's heart, that it would give God the opportunity to manifest his power and his signs and his wonders and his miracles. The signs were not intended to coerce Pharaoh into releasing Israel. No, the plagues were designed to demonstrate Yahweh's incomparable majesty to that of the Egyptians. You know that God continued to harden Pharaoh's heart over and over again, that he might multiply his signs. And that the Exodus plagues in the book of Exodus also served to demonstrate, to show really how hard Pharaoh's heart already was to begin with, as well as the Egyptians. So then we see that the plagues are judgments against the Egyptians for their hardness of heart, for their idolatry, for their persecution of God's people. They were not warnings for them to repent. That is very important to see. And so likewise, this being the backdrop of the trumpet judgments, as we'll soon see, the trumpets are not intended simply to warn unbelievers to repent of the coming judgment or to coerce them into repentance in some way. No, the purpose of the trumpet judgments is first and foremost to demonstrate God's incomparable majesty and his power. But secondly, they serve to demonstrate the hardness of the human heart. That even after all of these trumpet judgments, people still do not repent. As we shall soon see again, the Exodus plagues were understood by John to be foreshadowings of these trumpet judgments on the ungodly in the present age, happening right now as we speak, an age which God's people are in that final Exodus stage where we're being freed from this old creation and we will one day be ushered into the new consummated new heavens and new earth. And this being the case, there's a very important implication that I do not want you to miss. We must bear in mind is that God intends for these plagues only to afflict those who do not, I repeat, do not have God's protective seal on their foreheads as the 144,000 did. You will remember that even the Israelites in Egypt who did not have the blood over the doorposts, they were judged, weren't they? They were Israelites, but if they didn't have their doors marked with the lamb's blood, they also suffered the fate of the unbelieving Egyptians. And likewise, those who are even inside the visible covenant community that do not have a vital saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, these judgments are for them as well. And what a fierce and horrible judgments these are. In the Old Testament, you will remember that trumpets set the alarm for holy battle. That holy battle was about to be engaged against Israel's enemies, and even sometimes against Israel itself as God's enemy. I want you to think of the fall of Jericho. The fall of Jericho, where it was trumpets that announced the victory in a holy war. In that setting, it was seven trumpets, wasn't it? Blown by seven priests. In Revelation, it's seven angels that blow the trumpets. And just like the Exodus plagues, the trumpets blown by the priests at Jericho weren't warnings for them to repent, were they? When they blew the trumpets, no, it was rather to declare the judgment that God had already determined he would visit upon his enemies. And just as the seven trumpet blasts in Jericho led to the final decisive judgment upon Jericho, so these seven trumpets that we're looking at in Revelation lead up to the final decisive climactic judgment at the end of the age, the judgment upon the great city, Babylon, the worldly system that is opposed to the reign of the Lamb. And so now we're ready to see the judgments of each of these four terrifying angels as they unfold. Well, John looks and he sees the first angel sounding his trumpet. And as the first trumpet sounds, this judgment is sent forth. And I read, "And hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burned up." Now the Old Testament echo there is strikingly patterned after the Exodus plague of hail and fire in Exodus chapter 9, which says there, "And the Lord gave hail, and fire ran upon the land, and the hail struck all the vegetation of the field, and the hail shattered all of the trees of the field." Also, when the hail and the fire and the first trumpet are said to be mingled with blood, there's an echo here of the first Egyptian plague of the Nile turning into blood. So the first plague becomes an aspect of this first trumpet in the book of Revelation. Well, the question arises in our minds, is this first trumpet referring to literal fire that will come out of heaven and burn up a part of the earth? We must remember that in the very first verse of the book of Revelation, the visions are said to be a communication of symbols. That's literally what the Greek says, a communication of symbols. That is what that means in the Greek, signified, communicated in symbols. But also you need to remember that fire is used elsewhere throughout the book of Revelation symbolically. And one of the clearest examples of this, brothers and sisters, is Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, where we're told that seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne. Literally? No. What does the rest of the verse say? It says, which are the seven spirits of God. Well, likewise, all these trumpet judgments proceed from the heavenly throne room of God. And the book of Revelation has already set this precedent of interpreting fire before God's throne as being symbolic in nature. Well, something else here also shows us that all of the four trumpets are to be understood as symbols. I want to draw your attention in the text to the word like. Like. For example, in the second trumpet, John says, I saw something like a great mountain burning with fire. You see, there's a lack of precision in what John is trying to describe here. And that suggests it's to be taken symbolically, not literally. But with this first trumpet, I want you to notice that parts of the earth that are affected in this first trumpet have to do with food supplies. You know, that's what the Egyptian plagues destroyed a part of, is the food supplies. So there seems to be a link here to the idea of famine that was brought on by the third horseman of the apocalypse we learned of a number of months ago. Why did the trumpets affect only a third part of the land? Well, this is reminiscent of another dark day, the day of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 2, Israel is divided into thirds and is judged accordingly. One third is to be burned with fire. One third is to be struck with the sword. And the remaining third is to be struck with captivity. Well, very interestingly, in verse 12 of that same chapter in Ezekiel, those judgments, those three judgments, reappear. But the precise judgment of fire is taken away and reinterpreted as plague and famine. So for Ezekiel, fire equals plague and famine. They are used interchangeably in his prophecy. And actually, the whole section of Ezekiel 4 and what leads into the passage emphasizes famine in the coming judgment. At the beginning of chapter 5, there is a vision of scales, okay, showing that bread and water must be rationed because there's not enough food to go around. Again, speaking of famine. So in Ezekiel 5, the aspect of coming judgment is highlighted as famine, which is symbolically expressed as burning fire that is at the center of the city. And in fact, it's a third of mankind, and that really shows us that it's only a part of mankind that is affected by this trumpet. Not all. Not all will be exposed to this judgment of famine, but a part, but a substantial part nonetheless. Well, wait till we see what John sees next. As the second angel sounds his trumpet, John sees a vision of, if you can picture this, a great mountain burning with fire that is thrown into the sea. Now, what does this mean? Well, in the Bible, especially in prophetic literature, the likeness of a mountain is said to be symbolic for a kingdom. A kingdom. A mountain symbolizes a kingdom. For example, in Revelation 14, verse 1, the Lamb is seen standing on Mount Zion. That is the kingdom of Christ. In Revelation 17, verse 9, we're told that the seven heads of the beast are seven mountains upon which the scarlet woman sits, who is drunk with the blood of the saints, speaking of the kingdom of the beast. And as for the fact that this mountain is on fire, well, as we've seen numerous times, fire is a picture of judgment. So then, to put all this together, the burning mountain speaks of a judgment of an evil kingdom. In Revelation 18:21, we're told that a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea. And listen closely, it says, "Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more." Now I want you to listen to the way Jeremiah 51 verse 25 speaks of Babylon's judgment. It says, "Behold," listen to this, "I am against you, O destroying mountain, and I will make you a burnt mountain." So that really clinches that understanding of the prophecy. Yes, this burning mountain in the second trumpet that's cast into the sea refers to the judgment of the evil kingdom of the beast, which is called throughout Revelation as either Babylon or the great city, which holds sway over the evil world system. And the second trumpet continues as a third of the sea becomes blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea die, and a third of the ships were destroyed. A third of the sea becoming blood undoubtedly is alluding back to Exodus 7:20, where Moses, you remember, turns the water to blood, just as the fish in the Nile River died. So verse 9 here says that a third of the sea creatures die. So now there again is a judgment of famine, but this time resulting in a partial hindrance of maritime commerce. That is, a third of the ships are destroyed. So throughout, what this means for us is that throughout this present church age, between the first coming and the second coming, there will be a cutback in sources that we formerly thought to be plentiful. So the destruction of ships here in the book of Revelation is anticipating the complete destruction of Babylon, the source of maritime commerce. You need to remember that Babylon, the city, even in John's day, did not exist. His original readers would have understood Babylon to be a symbol, a type of a worldly system. Revelation 18 says that every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and many that trade on the seas, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth." The sailors mourn because they realize that Babylon's destruction means their own demise. And again, here in the second trumpet, we see that only a third of the sea is affected. Only a third of the fish and ships are affected. That shows that these judgments will only claim a part of the world in the age in between Christ's first and second comings. Well, then John hears the third angel sound his trumpet. And he says, "A great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood." A third of the waters became wormwood. Many people died from the water because it was made bitter. So we see then that this misery of foul, undrinkable water is brought to the fore We see again that this is an allusion to Exodus 7, particularly in verse 19, where we are told that not only the Nile River was affected by the Egyptian plague, but the rivers and the streams. As Psalm 78, verse 44 also tells us that God changed their rivers, plural, into blood, and their streams that they should not drink. And as with the second trumpet, again, we see a great fireball that is thrown from heaven. But this time, it's not pictured as a great mountain, but as what? As a great star burning like a torch. In the book of Revelation, we see that stars represent angelic beings. Revelation 1:20 says, "And the seven stars are the seven angels of the churches." And so here in the third trumpet, we're seeing the judgment of an angel who is the legal representation of a sinful people. And this burning star seems to parallel the descent of the burning mountain as they both come judged on fire from heaven. And this tells us that the star is the angelic representative of that evil kingdom, that burning mountain that's receiving judgment. So then that would mean that this judgment is upon the angel of Babylon. The guardian angel of Babylon, since the burning mountain is Babylon. And this becomes all the more clear as we see the backdrop of this judgment in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15. And there we read of the judgment of the king of Babylon and his nation, and it is set to occur. Why? Why? Isaiah says, because its guardian angel, the star of the morning, Lucifer, has fallen from heaven, thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. And this is a reference to Satan, brothers and sisters. But we might ask, has this happened already? Well, you remember when Jesus sent out his disciples on their first missionary trip. And when they came back, they said, "Even the demons are subject to us in your name." And what does Jesus say? He says, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." Well, this star is called Wormwood. And a third of the waters that it strikes are turned into wormwood. And many people die from drinking its water. Wormwood, what is wormwood? Wormwood is a bitter herb. And water that's contaminated by wormwood can be poisonous if drunk over a long period of time. In Jeremiah 9, verse 15, God says, "I will feed Israel with wormwood and give them poisonous water to drink." Really parallel statements. In Jeremiah, it's clear that wormwood is symbolic. It is symbolic for bitterness. The bitterness of suffering resulting from judgment, particularly a judgment that is well suited to the crime. And what do I mean by that? Well, because the prophets had polluted Israel with their idolatry, so God will pollute them with wormwood, that is, with the bitterness of suffering. And this is the way that this word wormwood is used again and again and again throughout the scriptures. That is, it is connoted with the cup of cursing. It is the cup of cursing. And so here in the book of Revelation, Babylon, the world system, has caused and contaminated the earth dwellers, that is, the unbelievers, and even some in the covenant community to become idolatrous. And the consequence for them is to drink the cup of cursing, to suffer the depths of Satan, which is wormwood. And this being the third trumpet, that doesn't mean that water will literally be poisoned, nor is it a mere shortage of drinking water. It does, however, seem to be developing this idea of famine. You know, the trumpets thus far have been referring to a famine of some type, and people will be forced to drink the water and suffer from doing so. Well, what helps us out is to understand what the living waters are in Revelation chapter 7 and 21. The living waters speak of eternal life. They speak of Jesus Christ's redemptive benefits and his faithfulness in his suffering. Well, if that's the case, then the waters of death must ultimately represent the flip side of that, the suffering associated with eternal spiritual death. And with that, we turn to the fourth trumpet, the final trumpet that we look at this evening. The fourth angel sounds his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck now, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Well, if the first three trumpets have been judgments of symbolic fire affecting a portion of the earth and humanity and the sea and the rivers, now in this fourth trumpet, we see that the sun and the moon and the stars are under attack. So obviously famine is no longer part of this picture. In this fourth trumpet, again, I want you to notice that only a third of each heavenly body is affected. John says that a third of the day and the night should not shine. That's a diminishment of the light usually given off by the sun during the day and the moon and the stars at night. Now, you've got to understand that this isn't yet the final judgment, but rather a trial affecting a part of the earth in coming before the final judgment. The trial of the fourth trumpet has a striking parallel again to Exodus, particularly at the beginning description of the final judgment later that we read of in the darkening of the land of Egypt during that time. But also later in the sixth seal, there is also a parallel here, because there we read that the sun is made black, the moon is covered, the stars fall to the earth, and whereas the devastation in the sixth seal is total, as I mentioned before, in this fourth trumpet, it's partial. Only a third is affected. So this woe in the fourth trumpet, as it brings to light the judgment in Exodus, specifically Exodus 10:21, where God causes darkness over Egypt for 3 days and three nights. Most of the Exodus plagues were designed to be judgments upon the false Egyptian gods. And that is important for us to understand. That was certainly the case with the plague of darkness, which was a judgment upon the Egyptian sun god, Ra, which Pharaoh was thought to be the incarnation of. Partial darkness in this fourth trumpet is set against idolaters. It is sent against idolaters. In idolaters alone, you remember that in Exodus, the darkness did not affect the light in the Israelite houses, but only in unbelieving houses. And again, we need to ask the question, do we understand these pictures literally? Do we understand them literally? Will this literally happen, the stars falling out of the sky, stars being darkened in that way? The answer is seen in how Revelation uses these pictures. For example, in Revelation 12, 1 through 4, where both people from both the Old Covenant and the New Covenant are described, they are symbolized by the sun, by the moon, and by the stars. In verse 1 of that chapter, we read of a woman who is clothed with the sun, and the moon is under her feet. And on her head is a garland of 12 stars. And then being with child, she cries out in labor and pain to give birth. The woman, of course, is the covenant community. With its 12 stars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. With Christ the Messiah being the child that is born. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 9, the sun, the moon, and the stars represent Jacob and his wife, along with the 11 tribes of Israel that bow down to Joseph, the 12th tribe. That is how these are used symbolically in prophetic literature. Well, then we are told in Revelation 12 that a fiery dragon appears on this scene. This, of course, is Satan. And with his tail, he draws a third of the stars from heaven to earth. These stars represent angels, specifically those that kept not their first estate, but went with Satan and became demons. The dragon sought to devour the male child, Israel's Messiah, as soon as he was born. Obviously, this began with King Herod's massacre of the firstborn. And so then what we are seeing in the fourth trumpet, brothers and sisters, we're seeing a plague of darkness that comes upon a part of the world to punish both unbelievers and demons because of their idolatry, because of their persecution of the saints. And this is not a literal darkness. It is a spiritual darkness. It is an emblem of their separation from God and their resulting final condemnation that will result in their dwelling in eternal darkness. Well, the great bulk of the application here has been for unbelievers. But what is the application for you who believe tonight? Simply this. God wants you to realize that these things will surely come to pass. Indeed, they are coming to pass, even as I speak these words in various parts of our world. But God says to you, be not afraid. In the midst of these troubled times, these judgments, the people of God are sealed. We are sealed with the Spirit of God, and we are secure until the day of redemption. You shall conquer. And the time will come, finally, when God will spread his tabernacle over you, and you shall serve him in his house day and night as priests forever and ever and ever. Let us now pray. Gracious Lord, as we consider these trumpet judgments, we are indeed awakened from spiritual lethargy as we see the great judgment that is visited upon idolatry and idolaters. Lord, it shakes us from our lethargy, not only in the sin in our own lives, but at others, loved ones that we know that appear to be under these judgments. And we do pray, Lord, that you would help us and make us sensitive to a dying world, but that you would also encourage us with the seal of God, which makes us secure against these trumpets, that they will not come nigh our house. We thank you, Lord, and give us that vision of the Lord Jesus Christ upon his throne by your word and spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.